For me, it comes down to a verse in Proverbs 29:18, and the King James Version puts it this way. Where there is no vision, the people perish. But he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Well, that word perish, you think, you know, in our vernacular means to die or to rot or pass away. In older English, it could have meant different things. And the use of this actually implies things like the words avoid, refuse, or go back. The NIV uses the phrase cast off restraint. You know, maybe one way to put it, you could almost say where there's no vision, the people leave, the people go away, the people give up. The people go back to whatever it was they came from. So the reality is this. If you don't believe in something, you won't give to it. You won't commit your finances or your resources or your time or your talents to it. You know, again, we've talked about the past couple of weeks, we spent some time talking about, well, I love you. You know, just because I don't show it doesn't mean I don't love you. Well, by definition, if you don't show it, you don't love. I'm sorry, there's no way around that. Well, I feel it. You know what? Hogwash. Feel it. Fuzzies. Go away. For me, when I look at this truth, and I've shared this truth before, but I think the last time I used this very statement, maybe a couple years ago in the month of August, and for me, I have to say, you know, from a confessional perspective as your pastor, looking at the finances and looking at the way things have panned out over the past couple years, I don't know if I've done a very good job of getting you excited about the vision. Because when people own a vision, they're excited about it. They give to it and they invest themselves in it. You know, last year we were discouraged. You know, last year we were on the verge of resigning because we just didn't see how we were going to be able to bounce back from all of the negative things that we'd experienced. You know, but we're at a point now where we see what God wants to do. We see what he desires to do here. And we really have no desire to be anywhere else, but we can't do it alone. And that's kind of the purpose of my message this morning. I don't want to come heavy-handed. I want to come and inspire you to what God could do through us and through you individually. And even if you're here and you're visiting today and you're part of a different church family, I pray that this is a time for you to reflect on the talents and the abilities that God has given you and what you might be able to bring back to your church and offer in a sense of personal vision and vision for your own congregation. Here's an example of some people excited. Exodus 36. And let me say this as I'm moving into this on a personal level. If you have a vision, if you don't have a vision or a goal in mind for a struggle or an addiction or a temptation you're working through, you probably won't succeed. If you have no vision for your involvement in God's church, eventually you'll either leave or at the very least you will mentally check out. You might be gone or you just might be a pew sitter. And God has much more in store for you than that. Exodus 3 through 7. It's really interesting scripture. They received from Moses all the offerings the Israelites had brought to carry out the work of constructing the sanctuary. And the people continued to bring freewill offerings, morning after morning. So all the skilled craftsmen who were doing all the work on the sanctuary left their work and said to Moses, "The people are bringing more than enough for doing the work the Lord commanded to be done." Then Moses gave an order and they sent his word throughout the camp. No man or woman is to make anything else as an offering for the sanctuary. And so the people were restrained from bringing more because what they already had was more than enough to do all the work. Could you imagine if I got up one Sunday and said, you know what, we're not going to take an offering this week because we just don't need it. We got so much money that we're trying to give to missions and we're supporting people and we're supporting the thing down in the street and we don't even need to this month. People would fall over. And the reality is I really believe that kind of thing would be possible, but it really requires a collective effort on everybody's part to say, I have to be obedient to the Lord. You know, because it's about resources, it's about money, it's about talent, it's about what we have to give. Our resources And our willingness to give is what makes the vision possible. You know, Moses was given a vision by Lord to build, by God to build this sanctuary, but it required craftsmen, and it required resources, and it required the coming together of God's people to build it. Now, in this day and age, we're not necessarily big into building things. We're big into reaching people. And the church, instead of being a building, is a group of individuals that's focused on bringing the kingdom of God to earth and drawing people to Christ. And so it comes down to, do you believe in what God wants to build in you? Do you believe in what God wants to build in us? Are you willing to give yourself? And so here's a few things I want you to consider, because we need your help. Romans 4, 17 to 21 says this. Here's a vision that God gave Abraham for his life. As it is written, I have made you a father of many nations. He is our father in the sight of God, in whom he believed, the God who gives life to the dead and calls things that are not as though they were. I've talked to a lot of you, some of you that live in this area, whether you've lived in South Dakota, up around Pine Ridge, or you've lived in Gordon or Rushville or Hay Springs or Chadron or to the south in the Sandhills. A lot of you say, there's a lot of oppression here. There's a lot that we're struggling. In some ways, it almost seems like we live in a spiritually dead land. I want you to know that God, who gives life to the dead, is the same one that calls things that are not as though they were. Against all hope, Abraham in hope believed, and so became the father of many nations, just as it had been said to him, so shall your offspring be. Without weakening in his faith, he faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, since he was about 100 years old, and that Sarah's womb was also dead. Yet he did not waver through unbelief regarding the promise of God, but was strengthened in his faith and gave glory to God, being fully persuaded that God had power to do what he had promised. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. And just as Abraham had faced the fact that his body was as good as dead, we can face the fact that we live in an area that's not, it's not really job central. It's not a land of flowing with milk and honey necessarily from an economic perspective. We know that. Things are closing down. People are moving away. But does that have to affect what God desires to do in the hearts and minds of people here? No, it really doesn't. Because God has taken desolation and things that have been dry and things that have been tired and things that have been weary, and he's given it new life. A few weeks back, I preached from Ezekiel. And God asked Ezekiel, son of man, can these dry bones live? And Ezekiel said, only you can know, Lord. And God says, speak my word to the dry bones that they might live. Oh, it was going to happen. But not because God made it happen arbitrarily. It was going to happen because Ezekiel, God's representative, spoke the word of God to the dry bones, and they lived. And then the Holy Spirit came, and flesh appeared. So let's talk a little bit about God's vision for our church. There's a couple things I need you to do. And I'm going to give you some of my own ideas here, things that I felt like God has laid on my heart, because I'm a bit of a dreamer, but I'm not the kind of person that's always very good at putting things into practice or figuring out how to get from point A to point B when point B seems so far away. Pray for me that God would clarify and grow his vision for our church in my heart and mind. On the same token, I need you to pray that God would clarify and grow his vision in our church, in your heart and mind. That's the strength of the church. When we're seeking God and God begins to show us the same thing and we start to compare notes and, hey, the Holy Spirit told me that and the Holy Spirit told me that, it's like, oh, maybe that's a direction we need to consider. Because it's the Spirit of God confirming to our hearts that what he's been showing me isn't the burrito I ate the night before as I've been laying awake at 3 a.m. thinking about crazy stuff, and some crazy idea that just crossed your mind. It's like, wow, I was thinking about that. Maybe we should see if somebody else, Joe was thinking about that, and Jesse was thinking about that, and my wife, and next thing you know, we've got some cooperation going on here because the Spirit of God's been moving in our church as bringing a sense of unity and purpose to what it is that he wants us to do in our community. And then let's share with each other what the Holy Spirit's been showing us. You see, we need dreamers. and we need implementers. This is actually a word. People to dream and people that, the doers, the get it done people, and we can work together. It's very rare you have a dreamer and an implementer at the same time. It can happen. But a lot of times when we work together and see things happen, some of us dream and some of us say, well, how can we make that happen? How can we get, what's a step that can get us one step closer to being where God wants us to be? And as your pastor, I simply cannot do this alone. I cannot be the person that dreams and implements because I don't implement very well. For one, some of you are a lot better at that than I am. And the reality is God can put something in my heart, but unless you own it, it's not going to happen. You know, look, when we did the Harvest Outreach Festival last October, I was so proud of all of you because you owned that. You know, the board talked about it. They dreamed it up. They put it together. And it was amazing. I showed up that morning with a couple things that I had prepared. And, you know, it blessed the community. And it was a blessing for me to watch it come to pass. Because as a church, those of you that volunteered and were part of that outreach event, you owned it. And it was a blessing for me to see. There's a guy in one of Laura's online classes she gets frustrated with because they do these group things. And they're all supposed to cooperate all week. And on the last day, he always shows up, says, oh, looks great, go team. She's like, I hope the professor's not giving him good grades for that, for one. You know, we can't just show up and say, hey, that's great, soup, yeah, do it, see you, bye. It's like the commercial where the consultants finish meeting with the CEO of the company and tells them what they need to do to be a successful company. And he says, great, let's do it. And the guys look at him and say, what? Let's do it. Oh, no, we don't help you do what we say you're supposed to do. We just tell you what you need to do. I don't want to be a pastor like that. I don't want to be a church like that. So just some of the ideas, some of the things that I've seen, you know. And again, maybe these are too generic, too general. You know, I've always had a vision that our church would have an Acts 2 reputation in our community. The one where it says they had favor with God and man. That the people looked at them and said, what a neat bunch. And it's obvious they love God. And then the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. I would like to see us be a generous church, a church that can give to needs in our community, a church that can continue to give to people from within our district who are in different places in the world ministering, whether it's Croatia or Romania, or to begin to invest in ministry, really invest in ministry on Pine Ridge. One of the things that Laura and I, God laid this on our heart back when we were still living in the old house on the river, the concepts of deliverance and healing, that people would constantly experience deliverance and healing within the ministries and the relationships that people built within our church. The great thing is, I think I'm seeing these first three, I'm seeing the seeds of these really beginning to come to fruition. You know, as people talk about how welcome and how loving they feel that this congregation is. And how oftentimes there are individuals within this church that you are very generous with what you give and how you reach out to people and how you offer of yourselves. You know, we've been experiencing, it's been a tough road. John and Angie are both home. They're done treatment. You know, we visited with them, and we're in a place where they want to see the deliverance and the healing happen. And when that does happen, and when they stand up, you know, and we're looking at Celebrate Recovery and the kickoff and them being involved in that, committing to the process, you know, scrounging up other people within the community that might see the healing that Christ can bring. When people begin to stand up within our church congregation and say, God rescued me from myself, what will that do? In fact, before I talk about the next ones, I want to read you just a little bit of a letter here. Some of you don't know TJ and Mike Henderson very well, Logan and Erica, but they live 75 miles to the south, and TJ and Mike were two of the adults that actually braved the 24-hour prayer and fasting vigil that we did before Easter with the teens. And I want to read this to you because I pray it's an encouragement. I want this to be an inspiration to you because there are days that I struggle with, you know, are we doing all that we can? Are we being all that God wants us to be? And I'm probably going to run over noon a little bit, so I apologize for that. I hope you'll forgive me. I don't see anybody fanning themselves yet, so we're going to be okay for a little while, at least for a few minutes. Okay. So what she writes, as I sit and ponder my Jesus and his desires to be formed in my heart, my thoughts are turned toward our church family. I know this may seem strange to you because you don't see our faces too often, but we do consider you our church family. Yes, we have brothers and sisters across the country who we talk with and pray with, yet you all are the ones we gather with to worship and grow in Christ with. We do attend other gatherings to worship, but not like we do with all of you. You've taken us in. You loved us the way we are. You've exposed your hearts to us and have been real with us. You've taken our children in and you loved them, taught them and encouraged them to press on toward Jesus. When God turned our lives upside down and back up again with a single phone call that Logan made, which found its way to ministering to the truth to millions of people, you still loved us as we ourselves are, and you were a haven to be ourselves. You see, Wesleyan Gospel of Gordon, you're so special because you're so real. It's a place where we all feel free to be ourselves because you all are free to be yourselves. God has blessed his flock in Gordon with a steadfastness and a love for others that shines bright in a dark community. So you see, your love in Christ is far-reaching. For those of you who do not know, we live 75 miles away. We travel to rodeo events on numerous weekends. God has made it really clear that the rodeo arena is our platform, that he has given us to be a light and salt to the earth, to a lost and dying world. Logan's phone call was the result of preparing to compete at another rodeo. We're able then to interact with others with a common interest, and our prayer when we leave home is, Lord, use us to help others and be there for them. We love the horses that we spend time with. We love the competition, and we love being out there for Christ. The part that we don't particularly like is the warfare that goes on before we leave for an event, and we miss meeting with all of you. Logan and Erica look forward to youth group every week. They can't always come, but it gives them fuel, refreshment, and accountability. Along with the horses and competing, our first occupation is ranching and farming too. So as you can see, our schedule is full, but we wanted you to know where you stood in our hearts and that we truly miss you all when we're not there. If the Lord brings us to mind, pray for us to keep our eyes fixed on Jesus that we might bring glory to the kingdom everywhere we travel. Sometimes we organize church services at the rodeo. Sometimes we speak. Sometimes we may do devotions, have communion at our horse trailer, but most of the time we're out in the thick of it desiring to be contagious for Christ. If you're interested, and she has kind of a schedule of events here which I can share with any of you. The schedule is grueling but fun, so we could sure use the extra prayers each week. Before I leave, I have to share a recent victory with you all. Memorial weekend, every Memorial weekend, Logan, Eric, and I, we left for Burlington, Colorado. Mike had to stay home, take care of things on the ranch. The warfare seemed worse than usual. I even remember thinking to myself, there must be a double blessing this weekend. I saw Logan and Erica persevere through trials, discipline from their parents, physical demands to rise up victorious in Christ and also blessed with a material reward. They both won their first saddle on the same day. Very unusual and encouraging for them. Personally, and an encouragement for each of them personally to keep on with what God had trained them to do. The material rewards will come and they will also grow old and dusty and be forgotten. But there are souls who are touched and lives transformed by the truth, the way, and the life that we desire to share as we travel and compete. And she says, sorry for the handwritten letter. That may be harder to read, but I was moved during my quiet time with Jesus to write this to you all. We miss you, love you, and appreciate you more than you know. Thank you for loving us just like we are. It's helped our hearts to heal. On behalf of the Mike Henderson family and TJ. Logan and Erica think that Spoken For, the youth band, ranks up there with Third Day and the Newsboys. I'd have to agree. You're all awesome. I read that because as I continue to echo this vision of my heart, I realize it's coming to pass. I don't think we ever should relax and say, you know, are we done? Because our influence needs to be felt. Number four might be silly. Instead of the coffee shop always closing down, wouldn't it be great if the liquor stores would just shut down due to lack of interest? Well, how do we get there? Well, the more people that desire Christ and don't need that. Number five was a vision that my own youth pastor had, that our youth group would be so influential in the community that the public school would check with us before they scheduled events to make sure it didn't conflict with what we were doing. Can you imagine? Can you imagine? Let's make it a little more personal. Let's talk about God's vision for your life. Because this vision may not differ very much from what we're talking about. You need God to give you a vision for your life, where he's guiding you, where he wants to use your gifts as part of his church. And then, to echo what I just said before, you need to pray that he clarifies and grows that vision in your heart and mind. And in a lot of ways, I need to know what that is, because my job, and this is something that I really nailed down in the past couple of years. You know, one of my main purposes in life is to do this, is to help you reach your full potential in Christ. And so if I, as your pastor and as a type of mentor, understand where your heart is and where God has placed the vision in your life, I can be instrumental in helping you take that vision and put it into place, put it into practice in your life and in your life as part of the church. We have a great opportunity in January to have Todd and Sonia Burpo and Colton and Cassie and their youngest son, Colby, to come and share with us. And this is a phenomenon. This is a big deal. This is a really big deal. And I have trouble wrapping my brain around that, because I've known Todd and Sonia for a long time, when they themselves weren't really a big deal. They were just pastors like us. Well, they still are. You know, Todd was maybe a bit of a workaholic. I mean, he functioned as a full-time pastor, had a garage door business, volunteered as wrestling coach, and as a volunteer fireman, and the fire department chaplain. I'm like, dude, how do you pastor? He says, I think the people just feel bad for me. You know, and after a year of some pretty tough stuff, God gave them their son back, and their lives have been turned upside down for the better. You know, so there's some potential in January to impact a lot of people. But really what I wanted to do, and we don't even really have any time, I just wanted to maybe give a couple of you the opportunity to echo some of the things that God has laid on your heart, things that you would love to see happen within the body of our church, things that you would love to see happen, see our church do or our church become, so that we could own these things together and celebrate these ideas together and begin to ask ourselves, how can we get from point A to point B? And I know that's kind of putting you on the spot, but you know, I know God has been stirring things up in Joe Reeves' heart, and he's been stirring things up in Joey Petrillik's heart, you know, and some of you else, you know, maybe you've had some crazy things, maybe you thought it was crazy that God's been placing on your mind about something that you feel like he wants you to do as your mission within the body of Christ. And maybe that's something that you'd like to share briefly before we wrap things up this morning. You want to stand up?
A lot of you guys probably know my vision, but I'll reiterate it for you today. I guess kind of as out there as it gets, I want to see Gordon used as a hub, as a model for the way that you do ministry. I really feel that we have the capability to do amazing things here, and I really feel that the Holy Spirit's working here in a way that we might not realize. And I think that like an overall vision for me is, I really feel that, you know, with our church and a lot of other churches, there's going to be a really large spiritual awakening in this town specifically, and then that will spread. I know that sounds super crazy, and a lot of you guys are like, huh? But I really feel that that's going to happen. And another one of my personal visions as being the youth pastors, I want to see the gap closed between generations. There's a very large disparity between the older generation and my generation, which I'm leading people in my generation as the youth pastor. I want to see that gap kind of closed and us come together and be unified as the body of Christ, no matter how old we are. And I think that is something that'll in turn help our larger vision, because no one generation has the right answer. We all kind of need to come together and do what God is calling us to do together.
Excellent. Thank you. Appreciate it. Somebody drove by fast. They heard what you were talking about, and they couldn't handle it, so they drove away. They drove away? I don't even know what I'm saying. They drove away. The idea of a spiritual awakening, I don't think it's a crazy idea at all. You know, I know that Nathaniel said, Nazareth, can anything good come from there? And sometimes people think, Gordon, can anything good happen there? Let's see what God has in store. So, Joey. It's just easier for me to call him Joe and call him Joey, so. Yeah, come on up. Yeah, take this, because if we're recording, let's get it on the thing. And I know God's been really laying some stuff on Joe's heart.
Well, give me a moment, folks. I gotta compose myself. For once, Joe Petrolik is silent. I don't know. I guess I'll try to be brief, but after going to district conference, I really realized a few things on my life and in vision for Gordon. And I'm sure most of you know me, some you don't, but I was more or less raised here in this ministry, got saved in this church, and have been a very vibrant part of Gordon. And I moved away and came back, moved away and come back. I always seemed to come back like a bad penny around here, and I couldn't understand why. You know, my family lives here, but I figured, well, why do I keep on ending myself up in Gordon? And I've been back just a little bit over almost a year and a half, 2 years now. And I've realized something as of recent, that God has called me back here. And I know that sounds really strange, because, you know, like we said, Gordon is kind of in the middle of nowhere. But I don't know. I love this community, and I really feel a very strong and powerful call on my life now, that I'm not meant to go anywhere else for now. God has called me here. I think for the longest time, my wife and I kind of felt like, oh, we just happened to end back up in Gordon again. Well, I've come to the realization that God got a hold of my heart. No, we are meant to be here and meant to help support Jason Lawrence ministry and kind of start our own in the midst of helping them. And become a very powerful part, hopefully, with Celebrate Recovery. As Jason announced, for those that didn't know, we're starting a family, and we want to raise our kid here. I know that sounds probably very, very strange to some, because I'm a young person that most of the time moves away from Mary Liz, but I love Gordon, and I see the power of God. I see the power of God to change this place radically. I kind of echo a lot of what Jerry said here, that is just the power is there. The power is there to just break through the strongholds of this town, of the diseases of addiction and just some of the cycles that I know exist throughout lives in this area. And I don't know, I hopefully Jason doesn't mind me kind of speaking to this, but I really kind of had a broken heart at district conference. I saw the leadership of our district. I saw the leadership of our church, and I kept introducing myself as, you know, I realized it's kind of an odd thing, you know, because I've been just recently given the position as a assistant minister here. And, you know, they're like, oh, where are you from? You know, introducing, you know, meeting new people in our district. And I said, well, I'm part of Jason's ministry. And as I kept on saying that to myself, I realized I've been part of Jason's ministry for a long time, since I was like 15 years old. And God hit me on the heart and said, you know, you've been affected by this church, and I've been able to grow through you, through, you know, not only Jason, but a lot of people in this room have helped me along my spiritual journey, have helped me realize some of my flaws, and have helped me grow in many different ways. And God says, I have now that you're open to listen, I've called you back. It's time to give back. It's time to come back and give back to the ministry and to the, you know, and to the power that has helped me become who I am. You know, many of you remember me as a dorky little 15-year-old goofy talkative kid, and you know, now I'm just a dorky 25-year-old mister. So, you know, there you go. But no, God has changed me through this ministry, has, you know, brought me up, and I'm just glad to be a part of the vision. And I, you know, I guess the last thing I can say is I'm just on fire for the things that God can do. I've seen miraculous changes in people's lives and the breaking through of just so many things, even in my own life, some awakening of some things that I need to work on. And I just hope we can all tap into the Holy Spirit and get on board, because God's doing something here in Gordon. And it's awesome and scary at the same time. So, thanks.
Thanks, man. Thank you very much. Good. I pray that you're getting kind of the spirit of what I know God's been laying on our hearts. And I know we're really starting to get way past noon now. But we just keep going and going. Is there somebody else, just something that you're, yeah, Peggy, yeah.
I know that there's something that God wants me to do. I stopped teaching school at the end of this school year, but I'm not over the hill yet. For a lot of years, I worked with the Native American children, and I feel that there's something that God wants me to do. I have an understanding of their life and their struggles, and I'm open to whatever happens that I might do to help the children in this area. I keep being niggled with this thought about bread. Some of you know I did something with bread a while ago, and then I stopped because I just didn't have enough energy to do it. But I am going to start now, as soon as Ray's health gets evened out here, to do the bread thing again. And what I did is make this special batch of bread that belonged, the recipe belonged to my grandmother, and to take to people who are shut in or sick or marginalized, maybe the people that are kind of at the edge of our community that aren't connected in a lot of ways. And it seems that it's less threatening when you bring someone some food and a Christian message than it is to show up with just a card or an invitation. I don't know why, but that's maybe just me, that I'm a little bashful about that. But I did that, and a lot of people remember that, who I brought bread to and how they ask about that bread. So I think that's might be God giving a message. And so every day when I've been praying about other hard things in my life, God keeps coming back to a couple things, the children and the bread. So I'm just waiting for that to come clear, and not trying to rush along. And I have other talents that some of you know in my home, that I do things for charity. I crochet blankets for children that are traumatized. And I right now I'm doing the pillowcase challenge. Some of you heard me talk about that one day. It's called the Million Pillowcase Challenge, and you sew pillowcases that are special, and then you give them away. It's not for money, and it goes to people who are maybe suffering from a disease, cancer, or in some other way is traumatized in their life, or they're alone, and just something like a pillowcase would brighten up their day. And that also could be, you know, that gift could be used for for the kingdom of God. So just pray that whatever God wants me to do, that I'm willing to do.
So good. Thank you, Peggy. Appreciate it. I was glad she brought that out, because it wasn't too long ago that Peggy and I had a conversation about the influence and the heart that she had for those kids that she worked with at the school. And I started to think to myself, wow, wouldn't it be neat if you were able to have an opportunity to minister to Native kids in our community without all the limitations that come from being part of the public school system? You know, she's got a heart for and ministering to kids, that the only safe place that they ended up coming to was school that day, you know? And that really sparked something in my heart. But again, it was an idea without any real feet, you know? And so now that she's kind of put that out there, this is the kind of idea, you know, if you're praying about Peggy and praying about that ministry that God, you know, there's that flame there, that desire. And sometimes we have that desire and we're not sure how to connect to get from here to there. You know, some of you are people that are implementers, and you might think, you know, here's a way that you could do that. And we begin to cooperate and work together, and these ministry opportunities begin to form. You know, so, Michelle.
I came here to help women in domestic violence and women and children and start a shelter, and I thought that's what God wanted done. But now I see through HHS, you know, him working a different way, and that it's almost easier to take women and children out of a bad situation and have a shelter and have them in an ideal environment. And I, you know, Hepzibah House does wonderful work, and I don't want to negate that, but there's a point where you have to get out into the real world. You know, you have to go home, and the reality is, you know, the boyfriend or dad or whatever is going to be there in the home. And so I feel like what God wants to do here as us as a church, as part of World Hope and the Wesleyan Church, is how do we make these children's home lives better? Because they're hell, and Peggy knows, and so does Louise and everybody else who's taught. I taught in this county for 12 years. Their home lives are hell. It's sheer hell. And I think it's just because their parents don't know any better. They were raised in it. They don't know any better. They don't know how to be parents. And I think Peggy's knowledge, you know, they need to be taught how to be parents, or we're just going, the cycle's going to continue. And I have an opportunity to do that now, but all of you have that opportunity too, to meet with young mothers and young fathers and say, you know, these young people, couples that I'm going in their home, they love their babies as much as Joe and Nicole loves his baby, and I'm sure Joe and Carrie are going to love their baby. They don't know how to take care of baby. They don't know how to take care of children. They were never taken care of. They don't know. So if we could, as a church, teach these parents, you know, you can't do drugs and alcohol and be a parent. You can't be passed out on the couch and have your baby. That doesn't work. They don't know that. So I think, you know, just sharing that knowledge and helping them be parents, I think, is all. Anytime we get an opportunity.
Yeah, when you think about the fact that investing in people is about literally mentoring them through a process of spiritual growth, I can stand here and I'm looking at the mountain and I'm thinking there is so much that needs to be done, because church needs to be more than about, let's come on Sunday, do the church thing, go home and do, you know, do our life, and then maybe if we're not too busy, we'll come back to church next week or in 2 weeks or in 3 weeks. And the reality is what you're seeing is, you know, the heartbeat of some of the folks in our church, they're recognizing the need. I see this mountain, and I don't know anything other to do than to get a shovel and start moving it. Seems big. Kathy.
One thing that God's just been really speaking to me over the last few days and weeks, actually, is the word available. And this actually is through you, Jason, and the Holy Spirit working through you on sermons and stuff. It's been coming a long time. And every time there's just been several things. And I mean, I think that sometime I would love to just have a time of sharing during a sermon even. But this last week and the weeks back, I mean, my journaling has just been filled with, I mean, I look at Joe, and one night in particular, You know, Mary Young and I were wanting to spend some time together. We'd been planning. I'm just going to kind of brief it really fast. We got over there, and things just weren't anything. From the house was filled with these awesome youth getting excited about going, and come out, and it was that word available. And I went to Joe and asked, is there something about, I think we were talking about prayer at the time, but I just kind of looked at him and I said something about calming down, is everything ready? And he gives me this, pursues with this list of things that needed to be done for his wife's car before she takes off. Now this is a little example, but I've had so many of these, you guys. It has to do with my husband, it has to do with everything. It's just a matter of just saying, I'm available. And I mean, his request, I mean, that was an awesome night. I mean, I don't even know if he knows what became of that. He needed like a tire wrench and whatever and yada yada. And in my mind, I'm like, already going. I hadn't even, the normal Kathy would have really just stopped and go, oh, now I have to disrupt my husband because obviously I'm going to go take it over there. Well, it was just like, sure, I'll do it. You know, where's the keys? And he said, the keys in the car. Take the car over there. And this is how God works, you guys. My husband didn't even blink eye because it comes to him naturally. And he just walks over and starts putting air in the tire. And I'm asking Verlin if he has a tire wrench or we get that out. And he goes, look into the spare. I think this one has all of that. And not only a jack that she needs, but the little doohickey that takes the lug nuts off, because you can't just use anyone, but it was all there. It's just, you know, I got in the car and Mary and I was just like, I'm so praising the Lord right now. I just can't believe it, you know, for just really being available. Just available. You know, but I've had a lot of those going on. I just want you to know we are serving an awesome God. We can do anything.
Excellent. Good. Kathy's defined her ministry as I'm available. And I appreciate that. Excellent. I don't want to cut anybody off, you know, if God's been laying things on your heart or you're excited about stuff, you know. I just pray that just some of this, I know we're running long. I just want you to see that this is more than just a Sunday thing. I mean, this is something that we want to do to impact and influence lives and see people changed. Anybody else before we wrap it up this afternoon? All right. Good deal. And these are the kind of things that you can share with each other anytime. You know, and the truth is, you know what? You talk about having sharing time, you know, another Sunday. If there's something that God lays on your heart in a week, and you're like, man, I've got to share that with the church family, come talk to me. Say, hey, can you make 5 minutes, 10 minutes for me to just share some things that God's showing me? You know, I would love to give you the opportunity to do that. Oh, yes. If you want ideas, you know, you sit down and talk to Laura for 10 minutes. She'll come up with a plan. You know, I mean, literally. I mean, there are times where she thinks of ways to do stuff I wouldn't have thought of it in 3 years. You know, I'm completely serious. She's getting her education. Someday I'm going to hire her to be, you know, she's going to be like an executive pastor person. And her job will be to make things work. You know, how are you going to do that? I don't know. Yes. Yep. All right, let's stand together and pray. Thanks so much. Father, thank you so much for the folks that took the time to be here today and the folks that were willing to sit and just stay here longer. God, I celebrate the things that you have done. And we know, God, that whenever you are working, the enemy is always there to try to tear down and to discourage, to try to cause people to fall away. But Lord, I want to pray that, you know, another vision that I have, God, for even our worship services, when we get together, Lord, that they would be so inspired and that they would be so vibrant and that they would be so encouraging, uplifting, and challenging to people that nobody would even want to miss a Sunday, because they know that you're going to be there and that you're going to speak and that your heart is going to be laid out for us to see, so that we might be challenged to be everything that we need to be. God, I pray that people would recognize that they need this, that they need to be connected to a church family, so that their dreams can come to fruition, so that they can be challenged to do what you've called them to do and to be obedient in the ways that you've called them to be obedient. God, that we might do more than we could have ever dreamed or imagined, because you're a big God that sees so far beyond what we see. And we look at our community, and we look at the struggles on the res, and we look at some of the addictions and the things that people are involved in our community, and we see the kids, you know, living in dangerous situations in their homes, God, and we think, how do we even start? But you're bigger than the mountain. And you're just looking for a few people to stand up, like Kathy shared this morning, and say, I'm available. Here's my loaves, here's my fish. I know it can't feed 5,000, but you can feed 5,000. So God, I pray that you're able to take what we offer, as imperfect and as limited as it is, and do the miraculous with it, God. And we will be privileged to see what you do. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right, look at the person next to you and say, let's dream big together. All right, God bless. Have a great week.